This is In My Gay Opinion with Trinity Black
and Trinity Dixon.
And we are back with another piece of media of some kind that would be better if it was about gay people or just are incredibly gay coded. Well, I mean,
that's pretty good. I mean, yeah.
Are you guys ready to get woke with Captain Marvel?
I sure am.
Oh, yeah. We took that title directly from the video we found when we were doing our quote research, end quote, on YouTube, looking up Captain Marvel gay.
Don't air quote the research. That was very extensive.
It was. We watched a lot of videos I didn't expect to watch, like that one, which was about how SJWs and Captain Marvel and the movie.
SJWs are ruining Disney.
Yep.
With their homosexuality.
We will not be
and
sourcing
their female empowerment.
We will not be sourcing that title.
Yeah, he sounds like really racist, so no. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But so here we are, We're talking about Captain Marvel and why she's gay.
Captain Marvel. Ugh. Okay. So we're going to start off with a wonderful plot summary from Internet Movie Database. After crashing an experimental aircraft, Air Force pilot Carol Danvers is discovered by the Kree and trained as a member of the elite Star Force military under the command of her mentor, Yon Rogg. Sounds like a rapper name.
Yon Rogg. In the house.
Yeah, I didn't realize that before. 6 years later, after escaping to Earth while under attack by the Skrulls, Danvers begins to discover there's more to her past. With help from S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Nick Fury, they set out to unravel the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And also, she's gay.
Yeah, the truth about her lost lover.
Yeah. So the focus for, of course, as with all of the episodes of our podcast, the spoiler warning, we're going to be getting down and dirty into Captain Marvel's plot.
Why'd you say down and dirty? Ew.
We can cut that out if we want.
No, it's just funny. Down and dirty.
Into the plot here.
Yeah, gritty details.
Yep. So first we're going to go through some of the significant members of the cast. We're going to talk, because sometimes it's a little bit relevant, but just... So we all know what we're starting out with here, too.
Yes. So, obviously, we have our wonderful Oscar award-winning actress, Brie Larson, also known as my wife, who plays Carol Danvers, or Venus, or Captain Marvel. She has many, many names.
She has many names. A woman of many talents.
Ugh. You're telling me. We have Samuel L. Jackson, obviously, who plays Nick Fury.
Who is CGI'd to look younger, and it almost doesn't look weird.
Yeah, it looks, like, fairly normal. He has
It's not the worst.
Yeah. It's definitely not the worst they've done. Like, I think the Winter Soldier, Peggy was the worst. Because her face, was weird. Yeah, it was weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn, who plays Talos.
I think that was the Skrull guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Apparently we don't remember characters' names in this movie, even though we watched it literally two nights ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. He is king. He's a pretty good character.
He's a king.
They think that the Skrulls are ugly. They think the Skrulls don't deserve...
Well, they're not cute, but they do deserve rights. I mean...
Yeah, it's just, I don't know if that was the takeaway you should have got from it, but yeah. I mean, not the rights part, but the ugly part. obviously they should have rights.
Okay. Jude Law, who plays Yon Rogg.
Another Yon Rogg.
Sounds like a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah.
Annette Bening, who plays Supreme Intelligence / Dr. Wendy Lawson.
/ Mar-Vell. They did not include that name in there, but / Mar-Vell.
Yes.
Trinity is having a minor freak out. I don't know if she... Can you pronounce that name?
No.
Is that the issue?
Yeah.
Do you recognize the actor?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy. I was going to say Digimon, but that's not his name. That's really... It's D... Oh my God. It's D-J-I-M-O-N.
We're so sorry if we're going to mispronounce your name, but we believe the next actor is Jimon Hanzu.
Jimon Hanzu, who plays Korath. Lee Pace, who plays Ronan, who also...
I always forget that Lee Pace is in these movies because he just doesn't look like Lee Pace.
Because all the aliens are ugly.
And Lee Pace isn't.
Yeah, he's okay for a man.
Yeah.
Lashana Lynch, who plays my queen, Maria Rambeau. Ugh, Rambo.
Yeah.
Elegant name.
Louisiana. All of this. Yeah. She's got class.
Ah, the French colonization.
That's the movie.
Jimma Chan, who plays Min Erva.
I hate that some of their like names are literally just like, yeah, we're an alien species. Yeah, we name ourselves after Greek gods. What about it? Okay, technically it's the Roman like version of her. But like that one, there's Minerva and there's Atlas. Like there's literally two different like names from mythology that are just like these people's random names. Except that there's a dash between them. So it's Min dash Erva. It's at dash less.
Also, it's like ATT-LASS. So they added an extra. But they literally an extra.
They just said, you know what? Call it Atlas, but make it sexier.
Yeah. Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Coulson, also a Marvel favorite. Rune.
He's also CG'd, right?
Yes, because he is very old, and he looks very.
Yeah,
old.
It's still like just a little bit weird, but it's like okay.
Like something's definitely off, but it's nothing but to like.
No, it's like if you hadn't seen these men before in real, not like, in real life, but like you would have been like, yeah. Oh, it's fine. But because you like have, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, Rune Tempt, who plays Bron Char, Alhines Perez Soto, who plays Atlas, with an extra T,
yep.
And an extra L, separated by a hyphen.
Yep.
McKenna Grace, who plays young Carol, and also every other white actress in Hollywood, apparently.
In their flashbacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her, she's credited for, like, so many of, like, young blank, because, like, yeah. She's just, like.
She just has that face, I guess, where they're, like, we need a cute little girl whose hair is, like, who's, like, okay with us dyeing her hair and or wearing a wig for this role. Yeah. And she's, like, you called?
And then the last one I think is notable is Akira Akbar, who plays Monica Rambeau. Carol and Maria's child.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah. If that wasn't significant enough, I think we could just end the episode right there.
They're married, the end. Yep. They live happily ever after. She never goes back to space.
Yep.
Okay. So, personal stories about the movie. I know now you
This
had
is
never
the first time I've ever seen it. I just never saw it in theaters, and I'd heard it was good, but like honestly all of the military advertising kind of turned me off from seeing it in theaters just because it was very much so whole join the military, be like Captain Marvel, and I was like, I don't like the military particularly.
Yeah.
And I don't like the fact that, you know, all Disney movies have to have their support in order to depict them, so you know.
Yeah.
But like it's so weird to see that and then to watch the actual movie and to be like, wow, they really said, let's advertise this movie with the American military and then make the message of this theme of this movie anti-imperialism.
Yeah, it is kind of ironic.
Yeah,
so they did have the, obviously, because Carol Danvers was a member of the Air Force, so I would say it makes sense to advertise for the Air Force as well. But yeah, considering the message of the movie, it was
definitely weird.
Very kind of like the juxtaposition was a little weird, but
because do you know how many Spotify ads I got in the like 3 month period before and after that movie came out that were just like dun da 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 Air Force go see Captain Marvel in theaters, that's also sweet. Join the military.
See, because I never saw, maybe I just was like off the grid for months before the movie came out, but I don't remember seeing.
I
any
definitely
ads
got like Air Force and like U.S. military like ads and stuff on like Spotify and before like. YouTube videos and stuff like that, and they would be like tie-ins to Captain Marvel and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it definitely makes sense.
It would be like, women are strong like Captain Marvel, women join the military, and I'm like, that's a little insidious, don't you think?
Yeah, a little shady, not gonna lie.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I think there's not really anything notable about when I saw the movie. I think I was just like, the whole like female superhero, like DC kind of beat Marvel to that, so it
no offense, yeah,
and kind of the allure of that away, like, yeah. I think I was more excited honestly to see Wonder Woman because I was like,
oh yeah,
first female superhero, yay.
And I think you can count on one hand the number of people that are actually excited to see Black Widow now too.
Yeah, for the record, I don't want to see that movie.
No, I don't want to see that movie either.
If you want to see it, I apologize, but we like, don't want to bash you at all, you have wonderful taste, but personally,
I am making a face.
Personally, not my cup of tea. If you're a cup of tea, you like it, I love it. However, I'm a little bit tired.
I will not be drinking that tea. You can have fun if you would like.
Black Widow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like she's like kind of done her like her narrative has kind of run its course. It just seems kind of reductive. Like if you're gonna
Not only do I not like what they've done with her character so far at all, I don't understand why I would want to see more of her.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna make a solo female movie, I would be like, do Valkyrie, do any of the like the women from Black Panther, like. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't really make sense to do like a character that's so like.
She's already been in so many movies that at this point, a like origin story seems almost as useless as them making the solo movie, you know, kind of thing. But yeah. Like almost worse because they're definitely doing it in an attempt to be like, here's our strong female character thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is.
Sucks. Anyway, yeah. Back to Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, sexy woman with taste.
Yes. Yeah. So I was just really excited because I love Brie Larson. I saw her the movie she won the Oscar for, which is Room. Which makes me I literally have not been able to watch it because I still sob. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. Like definitely don't watch it if you're like depressed in your room because you will get more sad. However, it's just a really amazing film and I was really just impressed by her acting abilities and so I was really excited to see her flex her acting muscles on the big screen with Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And she was really great and the movie was really good and I was very not surprised. Like I kind of expected it to be good because I'm a big Marvel fan, so I kind of like even their worst movies aren't that bad. Like Ant-Man, like if Thor, like they're really
not that bad. Did you say Ant-Man is one of the worst movies in the MCU? Okay, we're not gonna have this conversation on our podcast.
I mean,
but it's like not the worst movie. No. Made.
Like worst movies, as in like even like the less. I mean, like not worst. Like I think not, I don't honestly.
I honestly do dislike some of their movies, but yeah. The main reasons I dislike them are more because I don't know, like. I don't want to sound too much like a film major, but they're a little bit like the death of art, you know? Because, like, they're definitely entertaining, but they're also, like, I don't know, just not anything ever, like, super original. And they're not really doing anything new. And they're basically just kind of, like, cash grabs. And the main reasons that people come back to them, like, characters and stuff, they usually end up ruining anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
we can cut this part out afterwards. I just felt like I needed to say that.
No, it's okay. I mean, like, that just is like a hot take, and everyone has like, especially with like the whole DC Marvel like superhero, let's become like a really big thing. Like, I personally just like them a lot because I kind of just like, I just come from a different perspective, I guess. Like, maybe if I definitely was a film major, I would have the same. Maybe we're
similar
opinions.
Have to. There's definitely plenty of film majors that still like love Marvel movies and stuff.
But So I was really excited when I saw it. It's a pretty good film. Pretty good movie. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And obviously, I was really excited.
I did really like it. Like, I really enjoyed Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and I was also really excited to see Marvel kind of do what it should have done a really long time ago, which was have a female, like, solo movie.
Yeah.
Little too late, honestly.
That's the other thing, too. It's just that Marvel is consistently completely behind, like, ever doing anything progressive. The majority of their main characters are still, like, entirely white, cis, straight.
Yeah.
Men.
Which is kind of icky.
Yeah. And the ones that aren't are still, like, white, straight women and stuff.
Yeah. And that's why I'm, like, not really too... Not. I mean, like, I'm sure the Black Widow movie will be okay.
It's just, at this point, it's rare to have, I don't know, even a horror movie or something without, like, the gay character, you know? And then Marvel's never had one. Like, I'm not going to count for a second anything that would have been some guy kissing his, like, you know, boyfriend in the background for 2 seconds. No, they've never had a gay character, you know? Like, I'm just going to say that.
No, yeah, and I think they give, like especially, like, Kevin Feige, it seems like every, like, convention, it's like, yes, like, this year we will have the gay character.
They'll have rights, don't worry.
And then they don't. There's no rights. There's no gay characters. And it's kind of frustrating because it's just like, like, we haven't found a like way to like naturally leave it into storyline. I'm like, well, you've had plenty of missed opportunities, so like cut like, it. Like we all know the reason like that you don't want to put gay characters in your movies.
Yeah, and like, it's because it's not going to help profit. And that's I guess that is kind of my biggest issue with Marvel, is that they really are like for-profit movies. They're not necessarily like even off like directors like Taika Waititi, whose stuff I really love and stuff, and they have really good style, I guess they can add to it. Like, I would say that Thor Ragnarok is like one of the best movies that Marvel's put out in their MCU, like,
by
at
far.
All. But even then, that's still like probably a fraction of what Taika Waititi could do if he had like his own actual like input over things. They had to take out the fact that, you know, Valkyrie was bisexual and a bunch of other things that honestly would have made it an even better movie, you know?
Yeah, and I think there are definitely like pros and cons to having an expanded universe, obviously, especially with like a big media conglomerate like Disney. You do have a lot of restrictions
and you have to set
a continuity.
Yeah, when you have such a big series and you're not keeping to one director, or not even just like one director, but like general crew, I guess, you know, like mm-hmm. the major people on it aren't always the same, not besides cast, but like the people working on it, it's going to have issues with like keeping the same tone between them because yeah. it's not the same people making them. So it's kind of hard to keep that consistent too.
Yeah, but I mean, that being said, like I think in the last few years, especially like with Ryan Coogler, Taika Waititi, like Marvel has definitely stepped up and given a lot of people yeah. a platform, because I think those filmmakers have already kind of been on the map, but like definitely given them a lot more exposure. So I hope they continue to give those people like good opportunities, like really yeah. diverse filmmakers that can make really good stuff.
At the same time, I'm also a little bit like it's too little, too late, but yeah. I'm glad it's here at all. You know,
yeah.
like
better late than never, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say I'm not glad for it, but I also think that we have talked a lot about Marvel, and we need to get back to Captain Marvel.
yes. So,
for one, we're going to start by citing our sources, and those sources are YouTuber Rowan Ellis's video titled "Definitive Proof Captain Marvel is Gay" (parentheses spoilers and in parentheses).
Yes, and the rest of kind of what was just like our thoughts and
yeah
our diligent our research own, taking yes. watching the movie.
We would sit there watching the movie every so often. We would turn and look at each other and write something down or pause it maybe and be like, did you see that? I'm sorry.
Okay, so for the first thing,
the major thing that we have to say is that we're not saying this movie. I'm sorry. We're not saying this movie is necessarily queer-coded. The storyline isn't necessarily one that is inherently easy to parallel with queer experiences, necessarily. Trendy does have a hot take on that, but it's not necessarily what we're going for here.
Yeah. My hot take is the farthest of reaches, so don't pay attention to me. So it's definitely like, and that's something Rowan Ellis pointed out in her beautiful video, which all of you should watch because it was honestly just really funny.
It was. She's very theatric with it. Yeah. The way we can't express over an auditory medium.
Yeah. Was that it's not really like there definitely like are like moments that can be interpreted as queer, but I think as a whole it's romance coded, specifically with the relationship that Veers or Carol Danvers has with her quote unquote best friend Maria Rambo.
Yes.
Who they were partners in the Air Force. So you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, so Maria Rambeau is her best friend, quotation marks, from the military. And when she gets back to Earth after spending 6 years away, her, like, first kind of, like, the first person she ends up, like, going to get her memories back after she realizes that she does have a life on Earth, like, the first thing they do is, like, she breaks into the archives of some... you know,
like
top secret
base,
building.
Yeah.
Area 51. Let's just call it what it is.
Area 51. Yeah.
Yeah. And they find the file that has a picture of her in it and also, you know, a picture of Maria and says this is the last person who had contact with her and stuff. So she goes to find her to see what she remembers and, I don't know, just to reconnect, basically. Find support from somebody else who knew her before she was taken off Earth and stuff.
And she also, like, before that point even, she has a bunch of flashbacks with her in it. Like, that's, I think she's
and
probably
she starts
the primary.
Remembering things.
Yeah, person her flashbacks, like they're at a karaoke bar, like they're like just having fun together, like flying planes together, obviously she's both in the Air Force, so it's just like she's
literally
this...
all of the memories that she starts to remember that aren't like, I don't know, childhood memories, I guess, are the ones with Maria and them being together and having fun and living life.
And if you think about like a lot of amnesia storylines, like I think of like my mom watched a lot of soap operas, so like I think of a lot of soap operas, like the people that if a character has memory loss, usually not always but usually the person that's primarily in their memories is someone they've had a romantic connection to. That's just kind of how it goes, like their true north, their like person they really can't live without.
Yeah, the way that they, the key to getting their memories back and the one that holds all their most significant memories with them is like is a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is of Maria here, even though Maria is her best friend.
So they eventually reunite. So after she kind of like, you know, takes names and all that fun stuff.
And you find out that Maria has a daughter named
Monica.
Named Monica.
Lieutenant Trouble.
Yep. And they were raising her together.
Literally, like, they have, like...
like, in probably in the same house, raising her together for years.
Yeah, she goes, Auntie Carol!
Auntie Carol, which is what you call your mom's girlfriend when they can't legally get married because they're in the military in the late 80s.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I knew you weren't dead.
Like, yeah, she's so cute.
She's adorable. She's like, I want to like, pinch your little cheeks. But yeah, and so like she like Maria shows her all these pictures of like them. Like they're in like matching Christmas pajamas like on like, Christmas.
There's so many cute photos. They have matching jammies. Yeah.
Matching Christmas jammies.
And the daughter says, we became your real family or something after explaining that they to her, she's estranged or something from her own family. Her, so they're the closest people to her. So like she's literally been raising a child with this woman. And honestly, like a lot of the way that Monica treats her is, you know, if there's a, you know, if this was a storyline about her being her actual parent, it would be treated the same way. You know, if she was coming back from space or something and she's like, I kept your jacket and my mom let me wear it until I got ketchup on it and stuff. But like she has connections to her and she's like, we love like photo albums, memories and stuff. And the way that it's framed is kind of like a parent coming back from something for her too, like her relationship with her.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, like, there's a lot of, like, I mean, you have lots of notes about their, like, very extended glances.
I have three separate significant looks that I noted down in my notes. Like, the first one, I just put extended look, and then when the second one happened, I was like, okay, significant look number two, and then I kept track. So I found three major ones.
Yeah, and they're all, like, it's just, like, there's very, like, it almost feels like, it's like there's some, like, weird tension that no one can really put their finger on, and I think that boils it down to like the romantic tension that they have and like they don't, I think obviously in this if they were canonically like in a relationship, which I think they were, but whatever,
like obviously she like Maria doesn't want to emotionally manipulate her by being like we were married before you left or something because what if she doesn't remember her now, you know, like it's definitely like fodder for if people out there write fan fiction about it, that's what I could see happening.
And just like stuff I say to each other like she's like, I lost my best friend. Like, and when she leaves, like, it's hard for me to say goodbye too. Like, it's just very, just like, kiss already. Like, Jesus Christ.
Like, she has Maria has like a whole monologue where they're sitting across the table for each other, and this is also where extended look number two happens, the one that I would rank as number one if I had to rank them in level of like gayest, you know. And it's like a whole monologue where she was like, it's not. The sad part, the hard part isn't me getting you back now. The hard part was like the 6 years that I thought you were dead and having to go through the grief of losing my best friend and stuff. And then after she has like this whole monologue, basically it is like a monologue, like it's longer than what I've just told and stuff. They just kind of sit there and share a look, I think.
Yeah. And also like she's like a woman with like really horrible like amnesia, like she doesn't really remember like who she is, and she still flirts with her within the first 5 minutes
of that meeting scene. They just have like this whole back and forth banter of like teasing each other, and it's very flirty and very
like they never like they picked up where they left off pretty much, which I think was romance, but apparently they had another vision, which is fine, but it's just wrong. So
there's even like a line that's like, okay, so like if you were in a romantic relationship with a girl and she disappears and you think she's dead, or you know you think the government's covering up for her fake death or something, and she comes back 6 years later and you say you don't remember anything tenderly to her and she tells you that she lost her memories, then I would think that it's because you were in a relationship together and she's like, you don't remember anything? That's a little bit, that holds weight, that carries significance.
Yeah. Also, there's, I can't believe they actually put this in there and thought it was remotely heterosexual. They, the quote, she's like, my best friend who supported me as a mother.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, me and my gal pal raising a kid together. Like, are you, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, it's nice in the vein that, like, okay, modern people are occasionally, like, starting to do, like, communal raising of children and stuff with their friends, but like this is not at all in that situation, you know,
at all.
No,
it's the 90s.
They're gay.
Like, they're gay, like, come on.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just like stuff like that. And I guess that's what the YouTuber Rowan Ellis, she talks a lot about in her video as well. She also makes a really interesting point, which I didn't really think about before, is that so when you know, I guess I'm not really familiar with the terms of like the military, but it was like our understanding that, you know, if someone is like MIA or like happens to die, unfortunately, while they're at service, they're sent like the belongings.
Their their belongings are sent to their next of kin.
Yeah. And so Maria.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You go. No, that was just me being like, yeah. Yeah, she did. Maria was her next of kin.
Yeah, so Maria actually has Carol's belongings and her dog tag.
Yeah, she has the leftover other half of her dog tag that has the Carol Dan on it.
Which I understand if the mission was secret, perhaps. Like, maybe that can be a way the writers kind of get out of this. But still, like, even if her family was estranged, the military would have sent her belongings to her family, regardless. Like, they could have made up a lie. Because something. So the fact that they sent her belongings to her
she has next her jacket. Maria. She probably lived there, so no wonder she has her jacket. But, like, her jacket was probably with her that day. So, like, you know, she definitely has her belongings.
Yeah. And something also Rowan Ellis points out really brilliantly that I honestly didn't even think about was kind of the parallels with the Skrull.
Yeah. So what was the name of that guy?
Talos.
So Talos is kind of you think he's the bad guy at the beginning and then he's not. He's just trying to help his family and the other Skrulls escape galactic imperialism, you know? But basically he has this kind of touching alien reunion scene with his family. Or they're coded to be his family, and it's never explicitly said because she's a female alien, he's a male alien, and they're raising a daughter.
Yeah.
So, the parallels between that and a lost family that he's found his way back to, including, you know, a woman and a child, or maybe it's his son. It's an alien child. I can't remember. So, is basically the exact same storyline that Carol has.
Yeah, how she kind of like is kind of lost from this family that she was estranged from.
That she lost her way from them. She couldn't find her way back.
Yeah, and so how she also reunites with her quote unquote friend and her friend's child, which could be easily decoded as that's why it kind of bothers me with they're like, oh, like this is an actually from the storyline. Like this direct parallel makes perfect sense. Like,
yeah,
it would, like, that would honestly enhance it.
Yeah, and it's not like that his family is ever said, this is my alien wife and this is my alien child.
My name is Taylor.
They have to say that because when it's a heterosexual relationship, it's presumed. But when the same thing happens between two women, how is it not the same? Like,
heteronormativity sucks.
Yeah, and she also makes the excellent point of the fact that it needs to be explicitly said when it's between two women, because otherwise people are not going to assume that as a whole, because, you know, homophobia is still rampant in society in a general kind of manner.
In a more than general kind of manner, in a ubiquitous kind of manner.
You're right.
So, yeah, that's kind of like, and that's what kind of frustrates me, too. I'm like, ugh, like, it could have been so, like, this could have been, like, this very well could have been, like, Disney's, like, first, like, not even like a kiss or whatever, like, you know, like real.
Yeah, they wouldn't have even had to kiss in the movie for it to be like super significant and stuff. And it honestly would have made an impact on the plot too.
Yeah,
like, it's still crediting our sources. He had Rowan Ellis still had this kind of like idea as well, but and we also kind of came to the similar conclusion that it has more emotional impact if Maria is mourning her partner during those 6 years and her partner, like her girlfriend, her wife, finds her way back to her. Even if it's not necessarily relevant to the plot, it's relevant to the plot in the same manner that any other relationship makes a plot more emotionally impactful, you know?
Yeah, and also she talked about, like, how people were like, well, like, don't ask, don't tell was also, like, I think, I don't know exactly when that legislated, like, that
It was
policy.
In the 90s, yeah. I think.
Because movie is set in 95, so I'm not...
Their relationship would have taken place up till 89, which is still, I would say, maybe it wasn't mentioned in her video, but, it's still during this period, of course, when there's the AIDS crisis and stuff happening. And even if Don't Ask, Don't Tell wasn't implemented until the 90s, that culture definitely was there before then.
Yeah. And also doesn't negate the fact that there were, like, obviously, like, service members that were LGBT. There have been service members that were LGBT since, like, World
Forever.
War One. So it just doesn't negate the fact that there are people still, you know what I mean, in the service, like, armed services, like, that identify as LGBTQIA. So.
And if anything, the fact that she can't, they can't speak about their relationship and their line of, like, duty and work and stuff makes it more of a way to be able to influence and, like, to show in the plot. Because if they couldn't have talked about it in the military and stuff then, and they were already excluded from the military in a way for being female pilots, then wouldn't this just be another thing to make that point?
Yeah. And it's all, like, even, like, there is, like, an undercurrent of, like, there is an undercurrent within the movie of her being kind of, it's not very heavy-handed, which is good, because I think they would have been criticized for being preachy, but it's, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, you're a girl. Like, it's kind of like,
when you get knocked down, you got to get back up again. That's basically not explicitly said, yeah, but that's like the obvious kind of moral and stuff.
It's like, you can't do anything because you're a woman. And she's like, I'm strong. And that's kind of like a recurrent theme.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, I think thematically also would have made sense, like, to have that other layer of like, was it double oppression? For Maria's case, it's triple oppression, obviously, because she's like a black woman. If this case, she'd be a dark-skinned black woman in the military, who's also gay. So that would have been like a lot of oppression. But you know what I mean? It definitely could have. It definitely could have been thematically in the plot. So I don't understand.
Yeah, and it would have just made sense, you know. Yeah. Outside of the plot, because I think we've gone over most of the things actually mentioned in the plot at this point. There's like two other things I think we're gonna mention. One is the actors, actresses outside, specifically Brie Larson in relation to Valkyrie and her and Captain Marvel's fanship of it. And then separately from that is also just the comics, I guess.
Yeah. So with the whole I think like if you vaguely follow Marvel on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, you kind of like have a hint of like Brie Larson and Tessa Thompson's friendship. So Tessa Thompson, obviously, fun fact, I actually met her when I was 13.
Ooh,
she's really cool. But also, I was really like not cute when I met
her. You were 13. Nobody's cute when they're 13. They're a child.
But like,
it's okay.
I didn't glow up yet, and I honestly feel bad because she was very. And she honestly
was 13.
Like, yeah, but she's honestly like, you know, famous people like. You know, some people, like, they photograph really well, and, like, not to say they're ugly, but you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of, like, different in real life.
Yeah.
No, she looks exactly the same. She's just as beautiful in her photos as she is in real life. It was, like, a Grecian goddess. Like, she's beautiful. Like, anyway, I could go on for Tessa Thompson about, like, an hour, because I'm in love with her.
Tessa Thompson is bisexual and stuff. And,
Wait, is she?
Yes.
Oh. I thought she was, like, no labels.
You're right. I think the whole no labels thing comes with the you can call me whatever you want thing. But we will specifically mention that she has said no labels, but that includes, I think, bisexual and pansexual.
Yeah, so I think she's just, like, sexually fluid. Open to
anything.
Open to everybody.
Yeah. But she also played Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok. And, I don't know, was she in Endgame? I never saw it.
She was, briefly. When they had, like, the whole little pandering girl power moment. Which, it was definitely pandering. But I really ate it up because it was also a really good scene.
Okay.
Okay, no.
Bootlicker.
Shut up. So she still plays Valkyrie, and they have like a cute little like friend exchange on Twitter about like a lot of people kind of ship, as the kids say.
Yes.
Want to see Valkyrie and Captain Marvel.
I think you can just say ship. I think people will, if they're listening to this podcast, will probably know what you're talking about.
They want
to
ship. I hit the microphone. They want to ship Captain Marvel and Valkyrie, which honestly would be really cute, and I think they would hit it off.
But it's definitely a part of the whole fandom is completely devoid of female relationships kind of thing, as well as the whole, it's a little, so basically the actresses have both been fully supportive of it
on
Twitter.
Sure.
They like fan art of it. They show it to each other. They text each other about it, I guess, you know, whatever, I don't know.
Assumedly.
Yeah. But they like, it's interesting to see it, especially more from Brie Larson's side, because for Tessa Thompson, she wasn't in, of course, Captain Marvel, so she doesn't really have an impact on it. But I would say that maybe not to the same extent, but in a different way. Of course, Captain Marvel's relationship with Maria was definitely remarked upon when the movie came out. And as far as I know, she never either explicitly addressed it or just, you know, didn't address it at all.
Yeah. So they
could just be that whole Marvel beacon of silence thing, but you know, at the same time, it's kind of okay.
Yeah, so they definitely they retweet like fan art on Twitter, like they're like, oh, this is so cute, blah blah. But definitely I will say, like, this is something I didn't even think about until literally like 5 minutes before we were recording this, but it kind of does rub me the wrong way that like there wasn't a lot of emphasis on their like a supposed relationship between Maria and Carol in the movie. And I mean, yeah, like, let's just look at the facts. Like, Maria, or the actress who plays Maria, is, like, a dark-skinned woman, and Valkyrie is, like, a lighter-skinned woman who's not even, had no contact with Carol, like, before at all. So, definitely
Yeah, there's definitely some, like, colorism side of racism prevalent in that.
Yeah, and it definitely is just, like, well, like, I mean, obviously, like, all representation is a good all representation is, like, any representation at this point would be really good, but it is important to, like, view it.
That's always, yeah. I mean, we're not going to get into that as a specific topic on this, but I would definitely say that that can be debated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially in depending on when you're talking, what representation you're talking about.
That's true. That's true. So, like, I mean, like, definitely, like, yeah, like, representation needs to be handled really delicately, but I think, and all this to say, like, I wouldn't really have a problem, like, with Valkyrie and, like, Carol Danvers.
Like I said, it's cute. It's just interesting to see how people have started something entirely new based on one short interaction that wasn't even technically between the two of them, which I believe is from, like, a trailer for Endgame or an end credit scene for something.
Yeah.
With
Thor. Then
Marvel and Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and, like, fixating on this, like, I mean, like, yeah, the colorism is, basically the colorism is definitely there, which is a little, I mean, obviously this is, like, popular culture and media, so, like, I'm not really surprised, but it is important, I think, to note that, like, there are already, like, pairings that make more sense, but, you know, because of the powers that be, racism, all the isms, all of that, colorism specifically, some people don't really view them as, like, more prominent, which is really unfortunate, because I think that could have been a really awesome storyline between Maria and Carol.
Yeah.
And I really honestly doubt that that's ever going to come up again, which really makes me sad.
And like I said, I don't think Brie Larson is doing this, like, intentionally for negative or anything like that. Like I said, she probably just thinks it's cute and it's not, like, harming anybody. Although, like I said, she definitely didn't have the same reaction or not as much of a publicly positive one as she has, of course, with this one for the thing that actually happened in the movie she was actually in.
Yeah. And honestly, like, it's not like, it's more of like I have... It's more of, like, an issue with, like, the fans, I think. Like, I don't really have... Like, it's probably because Brie Larson and Tessa Thompson are friends.
She went through a lot anyway because so many people didn't like her being in that movie.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, Brie Larson... Like, celebrities, first of all, don't owe us anything, so point blank period. But, I mean, like, Brie Larson and Tessa Thompson are probably just friends and they're like, oh, this is cute, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's not more of a problem I have with the actors at all. Like, I think, like...
As it is, like, kind of what the implications of their actions are, I guess.
Yeah, or, like the fandoms, the fan, yeah, the fandom or the fans in general, because, I mean, Marvel, like, any fandom is known to be horrendously racist.
Yeah, and devoid of female, like, ships, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, women loving women in any kind
We're
of
starving
capacity.
Out here. We need some food. But, so that's really frustrating. But, I mean,
there
that's,
was a
like,
thought
my
that
rant
I had...
off my soapbox.
There was a thought that I had that I can't remember now, but it was also related to it. I'll see if it comes up to me. And, again, give me, like, a second to see if I can think hard enough to get it to come back soon enough. And if not, we'll just move on.
Okay.
It was something about how actors interact with fans on... you know, in social media today, about how it can be not dangerous, but a little bit insidious in how their interactions can affect, I don't know, how people view them, not as human beings, but as characters of themselves and stuff, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like, it's easy to like.
Yeah. Because people can say, oh, these people are friends in real life. I'm going to ship their characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which has some creepy connotations, because it's definitely in that line of celebrities aren't people. But at the same time, celebrities aren't people, not how they perform their public personas in any sort of capacity.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely like, there's definitely like a like I'm sure Robert Downey Jr. is not, well, I mean, he's kind of exception, he probably is like Tony Stark in real life. Like, his personality is very similar, but I mean, yeah, definitely, like, I think there's a lot of problems, which is, we won't get into this now, but, like, a lot of problems with fan culture in general, like, treating celebrities like they're, like, little playthings they can manipulate and pair and blah, 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 which is also just an issue. It makes you feel really icky. So, obviously, like, I don't think any of the Marvel actors owe
people.
I don't think any of the Marvel actors really owe anyone anything at all, ever. They came, that's their job. Like, honestly, I mean, like, that's kind of grim, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, that they're doing a job.
They're doing a job. And that's the thing that I think that, honestly, I don't think celebrity worship is a good thing. It's a very, very, like, bad thing in this, like, day and age, but it's, like, specifically cultivated, intentionally so, by marketing teams now, because people have realized that you can create this kind of image for people that people will attach onto, like, they're a character, but they're just celebrities. But that's such a big thing in marketing now. You see it, like, everywhere. Like, and once somebody has reached a certain point and they've decided to, you know, invest in somebody being their PR, you know, and stuff, then it's almost like, I don't know, not guaranteed, but it's very likely that they'll, you know, have somebody running their Twitter account and they'll start, you know, like, you know how brands, like, respond to each other and, like, insult each other online?
Yeah.
It's like that, but with celebrities, and it's horrible.
No, yeah, so definitely there's kind of, like, a really kind of icky, for lack of a better word,
getting off topic so much.
kind of culture to that, but off topic.
Okay.
We're intellectuals.
Yes.
We think about things deeply.
Yeah. Because we're talking about the actors, and of course, no piece of media exists in a vacuum. You do have to examine how actors and people who create this stuff interact with their own work. And I feel like that was especially important here when they have been so, or specifically Brie Larson has been so vocal supporting just kind of this random female lesbian, I guess, ship with the two characters, one of which is her own, when mm-hmm. it's not one that is based on a canon relationship she has with a woman.
No, yeah. So...
yes.
But
the second, yes. the last thing that I had found and was able going to mention was about the comics. And it is the fact that there is a lesbian Captain Marvel. It's not Carol Danvers. It's also not the original Captain Marvel, which is a guy named Mar-Vell, and he's an actual alien. Which, I guess his character, I don't really know a ton about the comics. This is like quick Googling, but his character was translated into this kind of butch alien older lady who's, you know, Carol's like mentor.
Oh yeah,
Mar-Vell.
Yeah, yeah, Mar-Vell.
Or
yeah.
you know, Dr. Lawson.
Wendy Lawson. Lawson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is just kind of funny to see there. But yeah, yeah.
It's like her older, like definitely like mentor. Very masculine coded, like her like cool like butch. It's like kind of like a if yeah. you have like
it's
a
like
cool
like
butch
movie
mentor.
Star butch, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like true, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like how if anyone's seen that. If anyone's seen the L Word, people think like Shane McCutcheon is butch, which is like not true. So it's definitely like what like I definitely, this is also identity politics, and my brain is like exploding because I talk too much about anything like this. But it's definitely like you said, it's Hollywood butch, where it's like middle aged white woman with the short hair, which is really not what that is at all. But the point is she's very masculine coded.
Yeah, and or at least I don't know if you say coded necessarily, as it is that she was originally based on a male character, and
that's
they didn't
true,
necessarily feminize her character beyond making her played by a woman.
That's a good point.
Okay, but besides that, Mar-Vell in the comics, his daughter, comics complicated daughter, so I don't know exactly what that relationship is, but his daughter, and she is a lesbian, and her name is Phyla-Vell, I think.
Ooh.
Phyla-Vell. Yes.
She's single?
She's dead.
Well,
but she has a but she has a very like plot integral relationship with a woman, and it's like I said, as far as I know, it's not a homophobic death beyond the fact that it happened to a lesbian.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the like those are the three Captain Marvels. Plus, there is Kamala Khan, who is the Miss Marvel currently.
I thought, for some reason, you were going to say Kamala Harris. Like, the presidential candidate that dropped out. Yeah, Kamala Harris.
The new Miss Marvel.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a comic book queen by any means, but I've definitely dabbled in
a few
Kamala Khan's like storyline, and they did an awesome. Also, she's like I think one of the first like Muslim.
Yeah, I think she really was
in Marvel canon, which is amazing.
I think she might be the first I think she's the first major one.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's really a good way to define that, but I feel like they have, but it maybe wasn't good representation.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. But the comic run is actually really, like, I can never keep up with comics because my brain doesn't like work like that. But
you can't read. I can't read.
Yeah, I'm illiterate. But it's actually really good run of the comics, and her character is super. And it also, I think the writer, I don't really know a lot about the writers, but regardless of whatever race or identity they are, I think they do a wonderful job of weaving her identity into, and I'm not the only person that said this, like weaving her identity into her in an organic, like really respectful way.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's been like pretty consistently good.
Yeah,
so, like,
positively
Ms. Marvel has been, I don't know, in the past, or with some of the newer iterations, not necessarily in the past, but it kind of is, of course, now, because these have been going for years at this point, these like runs or whenever they happened, but it's been a relatively progressive, I guess you could say, character, in that Kamala Khan is, of course, one of the first Muslim. I think she's the first Muslim American, like,
yes,
woman.
Yes, I think that's it.
Or maybe Muslim woman, I guess, and that's a made, like, superhero in Marvel. But I don't want to say incorrect language, not even incorrect facts. Mm-hmm. But that, plus the fact that they had a lesbian character there, plus Carol Danvers being like one of the major like female superheroes that they had as well too when she first like I guess appeared in the comics and stuff.
Also in that comic run there's like a gay character in there.
Yeah.
Like in that comic run. Like it's not Kamala, but it's one of her friends. Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading it like when I was like 14, I was like, oop. And I oop. So good stuff, yeah. Good stuff.
So I think it just would have been in line with the character and how that superhero's name and moniker has been passed down to make this Carol Danvers a lesbian, you know?
No,
it
would have
just been respectful, I think.
Yeah.
Right? It's just honestly disrespectful that she's not.
And that's on period.
That's the tea. So I hear you have a hot take about this being
I do. Okay, this is obviously a super reach, but now that I'm saying it, it's so dumb. So a lot of the language around okay,
she set down the notebook. She's ready to talk. She's cracking her neck. It's horrible.
So a lot of the language around her, like when she's in, like, oh, look, I'm surprised you can keep it straight and blah blah blah, and like anyway, it's really like weird, like straight language. I don't know how to describe it. I'm just saying, I use the word straight a lot.
Okay.
In reference to her like space identity battles or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I think this is definitely more tied to her Ron Gog.
The dude that's kind of like her mentor in the
SoundCloud rapper.
The SoundCloud
Yun-Rogg.
Also
just kind of like, and I think also like,
yeah, there's like, I guess the way that I would describe it is that it's not necessarily entirely about conforming, but because everything is for the greater good, it's all about you have to control your emotions and impulses and stuff. There's a big thing about her controlling her emotions, which could be interpreted as learning how to love again.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely, like, there's, like, he makes a big point. It's like, yeah, keep your emotions in check, like, blah. And that's obviously, like, you're human. Like, she definitely has a lot of the Kree DNA because of the big explosion that happened that gave her all those super cool powers.
And then the blood transfusion, I think, is something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That made her, like, part Kree. But, yeah, and so I think, like, having to deal with that, like, her emotional side, like, control. And then at the end of the movie, she's like, you know what, like, dude, like, I don't owe you anything. Like, I don't. He's like, get up and fight me. And she's like, no.
Then she just tosses him in a spaceship and sends
she's like,
off.
Bye. And so basically, I was just like, I'm off my soapbox right now. But basically, I think that if I could easily, it's definitely like a Frozen Let It Go moment. Like, she literally is able to, like.
Which I would also argue is a gay moment.
Yeah, she's able to, like, utilize that, like,
in order to become herself, she has to realize parts of herself that she tried to push down to be something she wasn't. Because she's not a Kree, so the metaphor here is more that she's a human, so she can't not have her emotions affect her, because that's what makes you human and stuff. But the metaphor could also be that pushing down what's a part of you, like being gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and stuff like it's like along the theme of, like, you know, someone telling you should be someone you're not, and you embracing that. Who you are and being like, you know what, like, I want to be myself and I want to be who I am. Mm-hmm. Which could very easily, I mean, that could be like any like situation in life, but definitely I think those storylines tend to teeter more towards being a little bit gay coded.
Yeah. I could see that. So your hot take is
the Kree tried to make her straight, but she's gay. The end.
Yep.
Roll credits.
And I think that's about it for our evidence.
Let me
check back over everything.
I put in U.S. imperialism! Exclamation point. That's not really having to do with anything gay.
No, but that's more if we wanted to analyze the movie a little bit more. Okay, if we did, I did have something I thought was cool. Okay, I'll go.
Yeah.
So, from the very beginning, like I said, I had never seen this movie before, and somehow I had avoided, like, I guess, literally any spoilers because I had no idea what the plot of the movie actually was, like, at all. Like, literally at all. Trinity at the beginning said, it's funny that she thinks she's Kree when she doesn't look anything like that. But I went, she's not Kree? And Trinity was like, oh, you haven't seen this movie ever, have you? Like, you didn't see nothing. And I was like, I guess not. So besides that little bit, I'm scraped by without not getting anything. And at the, like, towards the beginning, I, like, started making these notes about how the Skrulls are supposed to be the bad guys, but they're kind of being characterized as not that bad people. So the people in her, like, spy tactics, I guess, group of, like, people going down, one of the Skrull takes the form of that guy to go up to their sniper lady and be like, don't shoot any of them, they're just civilians, which is true, as you learn later, but, like, at then, you you think you realize that they're just other Skrulls kind of in disguise. But at the like when that first happened, I was like, oh, this dude is a Skrull, but he was actually trying to stop her from like shooting civilians and stuff.
Yeah.
Which she otherwise would have done and then actually does do later and stuff. But at the when it becomes first revealed, you're like, oh, they weren't civilians, they were Skrulls. But I was like, okay, but he was still trying to stop like unnecessary death overall when it wasn't necessarily in a fighting situation yet and stuff too, when it could have escalated it. So I was like, that's interesting that they included that in there. But I'll just make a note of it and continue on. And then, let's see. Later, when she's chasing one of the guys on Earth, and he hops onto the subway, I guess the bus system, whatever
metro.
It is in metro.
LA, I think it's
okay.
Called the metro.
And he gently lets this old lady kind of go to the side and like gently goes her around, and then he gets on the train, nice and easy. And then Carol just kind of goes wild getting on it and causing a bunch of property damage. Well, he's kind of generally avoiding doing that and like helping other people and stuff.
I mean, if it's LAPD in the 90s, property damage is the last thing they should be worried about.
That's probably true. So. And then when later, I think it is actually, I keep forgetting that guy's name.
Talos?
Talos. Talos. Mm-hmm. Dang, I really should remember his name. You've had to correct me like 3 times.
Okay.
He's transformed into Fury's boss, and he's like next to the dead body of his other one, and I specifically made a note that says shows respect for their dead, which is not, because he gives this guy like his last rites basically. He like closes his eyes and he's like, go on, go to heaven, but like in their alien kind of version of it and stuff. But I like specifically made the note of like, it's weird that they're characterizing these as like individuals with human empathy and actions, I guess, that are very much so kind of not human specific, but like things that we consider to have humanity do that, I guess. Yeah. That would be a way of putting it.
Yeah.
And then later on, that they right before it gets revealed that they're actually like the good guys, they're like in Maria's house, and he's like, they have the guy out there dressed not dressed as Maria, you know, transformed to like Maria, and he's playing with the little girl. And it's like, don't worry, we're not gonna hurt the little girl. Like, what do you think, we are monsters kind of thing? And I was like, no one will hurt the little girl. Put that in my notes. And then it, like, immediately afterwards, it was like, oh, we're trying to escape space imperialism, and we're actually the victims, and we're refugees from these people pushing us out of our home world and stuff. And I was like, oh?
No, yeah,
I was right? So I was just thought it was cool that they had that little bits of foreshadowing and stuff in there, because it was all like super subtle stuff, but like when I was looking for it, I found it.
No, yeah, and it's definitely like the whole like the Skrull, and it comes obvious after a while, like the whole like race of people is definitely being mischaracterized. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely like that's something that Marvel has also kind of been more or less like I think in at least in the most recent movies, I think, without being too heavy-handed politically, it kind of has tried to do something that is more or less relevant. Like, Thor Ragnarok was about, like, nation-building and nationalism, pretty much. And, like...
Yeah. I'm still mad about that. Not about Thor Ragnarok, but about the fact that they immediately took this boatload of refugees and then just, like, killed them all in the next movie.
I know, that's horrible.
I was like, I'm sorry. Why did you think that was a good thing to send after Taika Waititi went to all that work to show that this society is trying to rebuild itself as not being, like, nationalist?
I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
But, yeah, it's definitely, like, they're obviously, the Skrull are refugees fleeing terror. Like, they're not trying to hurt anyone, I think. And the Kree is definitely just, like, this, like, super big militarized space force that wants to just control everything.
Yeah.
So I think having that message in the movie was really, really cool.
Yeah. I also just think it's funny that they're called the Star Force. That's, like, the most generic space military name in
Star
the world.
Star Force. Sounds like a kid's cartoon on Saturday.
Yeah,
Saturday morning.
Star Force.
I mean, other than that, imperialism aside...
Yeah, imperialism aside.
There's the hot alien with the undercut, who's played by Gemma Chan.
Yeah,
who's
at the
also
very
Crazy
beginning.
Rich Asians.
Oh, I thought I recognized her name from a cast list somewhere. Okay,
yeah.
So like at the very beginning, the second note I ever made was hot lady undercut sniper. And then, like, the last note I ever made was a dash to that, and then I put mean, because she's she was like, why didn't we ever hang out? Was it because you knew all along? And she's like, no, I just didn't like you. And I went, okay.
Yeah, she's mean. Yeah. And honestly, it's kind of hot.
Yeah. No, the hot part stays.
No, yeah. She's definitely, like, Gemma Chan is a really attractive actress, and also she has undercut, so I just kind of was like, that's gay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, she's a sniper, which is...
gay.
Yeah, according to our roommate, a really sexy position.
Our roommate? You mean me?
Oh, I thought it was Kayla that said that.
Kayla disagreed with me. Oh. I said that.
Yeah, because it has, requires a lot of skill.
Yeah.
And precision. Wink, wink. Okay, I think that's honestly...
Yeah. Like, we thought it was
you
funny.
You kiss like a horse.
They're like, yeah, you kiss like a horse.
Yeah, so basically, I don't know why I just said with that context.
So first, we got to explain the kiss like a horse part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then the scene where, like, the AI thing is, like, putting her down and, like, being like, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're disgusting, give me $200.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the lines that they say in this flashback, which I think we only caught because we had subtitles on, is, like, you kiss like a horse, a dude just, like, saying that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, it was really strange because it's all, like, I mean, the whole scene is about, like, her, like, being put down because she's a woman and people think she's weak and she's, like, just not strong enough or whatever. And it's all of a sudden, it's, like, you kiss like a horse. And we're like, what is going on?
It's, like, the other things were all kind of, like, scenes you'd already been shown in flashbacks. So, like, her getting knocked down in, like, boot camp and her getting knocked down as a kid playing, like, go-karts or something. And then that one is just, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, big yikes.
Yeah. But I think that that's just about everything.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
So we're going to say good night and we hope you got woke.
Yeah. And in my gay opinion, at least, Captain Marvel is a good movie. I recommend it. The imperialism sucks. Like, but it has a good message and it's, I think it's pretty well done.
Yeah. More like Disney aside, not the like imperialism aside, but Disney aside, it's a good movie. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we recommend it. We do. Just like, make sure you're careful about... I don't know how to say this legally. Don't contribute to Disney when you watch it.
To be fair, I'm on my sister's Disney Plus account, so I'm not technically paying for it.
Okay. I don't know if my bootlegger joke got recorded the other time, so bootlegger.
I don't know if this got recorded either, but I have a problematic relationship with Disney. I acknowledge this. It's really toxic. They're a problematic company, but... I love them. What can I say?
You can be my problematic fave.
It's okay. And if you like Disney too, but you're anti-capitalist, you're kind of valid. I mean, it just be like that sometimes.
Okay. Anyway,
don't judge me.
you can judge me, and I can judge you. This is how this thing works.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. See you guys later with our next one. We're not entirely sure, but we think we're gonna have a guest host.
Yeah, I won't be here. You'll miss the sound of my sweet voice.
Yeah, she's going on a trip far, far away.
Alabama and Georgia. Far. I'll FaceTime in.
We'll call in to get your expert opinion.
Yeah, of course, of course.
We don't know exactly what yet, but you guys will just have to see.
That'll be a surprise. So happy J-term. Right.